about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
All right.
Okay,
you guys
let's
ready
go.
To rock? Let's do
yes,
this.
Let's go.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy.
4, 5, 6.
VIG.
Look, if you feel so bad, then just get in there. Just dip your toe into the pool of possibility. Hey, Remy.
Let's get weird and toss that ball around, huh?
So turned out.
Okay, you would seriously have a threesome with that man just to get me to admit that I'm wrong?
Oh, I think we could do a lot worse than Remy. He's got strong arms.
All right, so a menage a trois is about three of us.
Sure.
Trois. Menaging fully.
What?
Okay, this is happening with this guy. This is happening right now, Jess.
Yeah.
So it's going to get even a little more uncomfortable. We just have to keep talking with each other, all right? Around and communicating. Let's get some relaxed music.
Great
okay?
idea. All right, good idea. Thank you.
And now.
Our feature presentation.
That was voted the sexiest song of the year.
Yeah. Sexiest song of the music. Year.
Yeah.
Didn't know that.
Mm-hmm. What the fuck say? Mm-hmm. Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean show. It is Tuesday, the 10th of September.
You should tweet that, Kevin. Why don't you share that
I never
video with the listeners?
It's a great idea. I shouldn't keep that to myself.
Did somebody do that to you yesterday?
Yes.
Did somebody trick you into clicking on a link that was the Fox?
Yeah, and it was a soccer-related item.
All you have to do is send Kevin hottest Kate Upton picture ever, and he'll always click on it. You can't go wrong with that.
I did. And then I thought, as many times as I did that in the last 36 hours... How could I possibly not see it coming?
36 hours, you mean 3 days?
Yeah, exactly.
Exactly.
That's our definition of 3 days on this show.
Right.
Well, we do have a big, big, big show today. But first, let me tell you about this. I think this would be a phenomenal, very interesting phone topic. Things that they made you do at a job interview in the news.
Okay.
More and more, by the way, I hear about companies going beyond the standard sit down and tell me about your last experience and, you know, what do you bring to the company? I hear more and more they're trying to get creative with those job interviews. And sometimes I wonder if the company that's doing the interviewing is just screwing with the applicants, too. This is a story out of Britain, the city of Cardiff. There's a Currys location there, which is a home appliance retailer. People showed up for a job there recently, and they were told that they would be hired based on their ability to win a dance contest.
All right.
So they put
it's
on
It's about time important things are decided with a dance contest. That should happen all the time.
You've been saying for years that all situations should be settled with a dance-off.
That's right. That's it.
Like President Obama and President Assad from Syria should just get together and dance off. And whoever
correct.
Wins, that's who gets the nuclear weapon. That's how the world should run, right?
That is correct.
I think initially everyone thought it was a joke, said Alan Bacon, 21, to BBC News, but they were serious. I just felt so embarrassed and uncomfortable. I mean, wouldn't you, by the way, if they said dance monkey?
Well, sure, if you're thinking you're going in for a job interview.
Yeah, retail. It's a retail job.
You probably dress better
He's
than
in a
usual.
Suit.
Yeah.
He's in a suit.
And you're trying to make sure that you don't say the wrong things, and all of a sudden they want you to dance.
Yeah, I mean, he's not trying to get a Broadway dancing job. He's going in to sell washer dryers, you know? I felt so embarrassed and uncomfortable. I ended up dancing to Around the World by Daft Punk, doing rubbish robotics in my suit in front of a group of strangers. I went home and I told my dad it was just like a scene out of The Office. And here's the heartbreaking sentence in the whole article is, I would have walked out, but I need a job.
Aww. Well, did he get it?
No. His dancing skills apparently did not wow the human resources department. His application was rejected. After news of the dance interview, they're calling it the dance interview, got out, Currys quickly issued a statement saying the Cardiff store had gone rogue and apologized to those interviewees impacted on this occasion.
The Cardiff store had gone rogue.
The company invited the rejected applicants to return for a second interview in which, quote, they will be given a proper opportunity to demonstrate how they contribute to our business, end quote.
Can you imagine the behind the scenes of the upper boss calling the boss of that location?
Oh, yeah.
Saying,
yes.
Let me get this. You had them dance to Daft Punk and it wasn't Get Lucky? Really?
Well, you can imagine the comment section of this article where it appeared on Gawker just have horror stories of other things that people have gone through. I once went to an interview where they put all the applicants together in a small circle of chairs and interviewed us together. No joke. Why did they do this? Because they could, someone said. Boy, that's tough.
Yeah, that is tough.
I went to a job interview that involved two back-to-back quarter-mile foot races. Seriously, it is not a joke. This is a thing we were asked to do. The job was not for a professional foot racer or to try out for the Olympic team. After the second race, we were told that they had no positions available. I'm pretty sure they were just screwing with us.
What? That's just evil.
That's just awesome evil. Is what you mean.
Oh.
So anyway, let's make a note. I think that would be a fascinating phone-in topic because I'm sure people have had to answer some super dumb questions in job interviews, and they've had to do some things that, you know, even if it's of the best of intentions, the employer thinks that it's going to reveal some sort of talent in the employee. They think you can get away with asking them to, you know, juggle eggs or something just because they want to see how motivated they are.
Oh, I just love it. I love that so much.
Of course you do.
All right, let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
Seriously! What the f*** is going on right now?
That's my question. Million Second Quiz March last night.
How'd that go?
Well, that was on TV.
Yes.
Right?
And
they aired
still
it.
Is, right?
That happened. I don't know if it still is.
I mean, it's like
if it's online or what. I don't know. Right, listen.
It never leaves in some form or another.
I could only watch so long.
Right.
We also have Depeche Mode tickets.
Mm-hmm.
We got a new title fight for you. The last time we played title fight, it was a disaster.
For Dave.
We had the worst contestant in the history of the world. That's why.
Couldn't come up with Hurt for Nine Inch Nails. I mean, and Dave was really giving him pretty much every clue you could possibly get. So that guy's a loser. you walked out of a movie. We're going to take your calls. We were talking about this yesterday because I walked out of Riddick, which was terrible. And apparently it's not getting that bad of reviews.
Yeah.
But people liked it more than I did. But
you may have to go back now.
No, I'm not going back. But you guys, somebody, you know, the last movie you walked out of. A lot of people here say, I remember walking out. I just can't remember what movie it was because maybe it was too long ago. But I'm sure that our audience with our limited attention span walked out of movies recently.
Boy, Riddick had to be bad because you didn't walk out of a movie a couple of weeks ago that you showed up for, and it turned out to be in Chinese. You still stayed for that one.
Yeah, that was a great movie.
Riddick.
That's the difference. The Grandmaster was awesome. It's kung fu. It's my roots, man. It's like watching my childhood. And Sons of Anarchy comes back tonight.
Yes.
On the television set. And the creator of Sons of Anarchy, Kurt Sutter, will be in the studio with us today talking about that entire series.
Awesome.
So very excited about that. We'll take a break. We'll come back with the Showbiz Beat. 7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q, and it's Kevin and Bean Show at 5:54.
We had quite a discussion on the Kevin and Bean Show yesterday about that young lady in the twerking video, the one who's up against the door and then falls over and catches on fire. And there was a lot of discussion about whether that video was real or fake. Mm-hmm.
There wasn't. I kept saying, it's clearly fake. I can't believe you guys would fall for this.
That's not how I recall the conversation.
I was saying how unbelievably fake.
As a matter of fact,
I said she's probably a stunt woman.
I don't recall that conversation at all.
That Kevin was the general of, it's true, and I know stuff like this.
You're
you all are
stupid
idiots.
And absurd. It's absolutely real.
It has been revealed. The truth has made itself shown, and we will play the audio that proves it right after the top of the hour here on the Kevin and Bean Show. You're not going to want to miss this. It's not something that I think anyone expected it to be. First, though, Ralph's got the Showbiz Beat here on a Tuesday morning Kevin and Bean Show. What's going on, Ralph?
What day did you say it was?
It's a Tuesday.
That's right. That means new CDs, DVDs, and TV shows on DVD release.
Bean's favorite day is new release day.
Oh, I know. He's got a plan already.
He does.
I do, man. I'm at IHOP by 11:15, and then I'm at Best Buy by noon.
Wow.
If they don't have the lowest price, you go to someplace else.
Right, well, I do have a Target nearby.
Target, right?
Al's Disc Mart.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. CDs, here's what's new today. Long Forgotten Songs, B-Sides and Covers, 2000 to 2013 by Rise Against. Rise Against fans, here you go. Get all your rarities on this very cool CD. A.M. by Arctic Monkeys. Wait a minute. A.M. Arctic Monkeys.
See what they did there?
It's their initials.
Right. Arctic Monkeys.
A.M.
Right.
Someone call the police.
For
I
what?
Saw the case. Atmosphere by Cascade. From Beer to Eternity.
Nope. That didn't happen.
By Ministry. from beer to eternity.
I swear to God, I wasn't familiar with that record, but I thought you were going to say it was new Toby Keith.
Oh, you know
when
what?
I heard the title, I thought that must be Toby Keith.
It would have been a perfect guess.
You want to hear some of it?
Just sure, I'd love to hear some quick ministry.
Wheel in the sky keeps on turning.
BOATS2 hashtag me time by 2 Chainz.
Okay.
That's a name of a CD.
Okay.
Votes, but it's B period O period A period T period S period 2 hashtag me time by 2 Chainz.
I'm going to get that tattooed on my body.
You should.
That title.
Your forehead.
Fuse by Keith Urban and The Electric Lady by Janelle Monáe. DVDs, Star Trek Into Darkness. Chris Pine, Zach Quinto, of course, the second in the J.J. Abrams rebooted Star Trek franchise. And Tyler Perry presents The Peoples.
Yeah.
With Craig Robinson and Kerry Washington and David Alan Grier. Three of my favorite people in a movie that I will never see. Sorry, I can rarely say that. TV shows on DVD, Big Bang Theory, the sixth season, Homeland Season 2, Castle Season 5, Supernatural Season 8, Blue Blood Season 3, and Chicago Fire Season 1.
There's a Chicago Fire? That's a thing?
Yeah.
That's a thing.
I actually never saw that show.
If Lisa hasn't seen it, it doesn't exist.
Wow.
It does exist, but...
I remember when that debuted, I would have bet money that that one wasn't going to last 3 episodes. Yep. It looked so bad. And I think there's somebody really good behind it, Lisa. Whose show is it?
That I don't know, but I know Sarah Shahi went to that show. Didn't she, mid-season?
No, I don't know.
She's on Person of Interest.
I thought she was on there for a short time.
Maybe.
It does sound right, yeah. I don't know. There's a lot of shows that none of us have ever seen. That's what I've learned.
Hmm. And this is one of them.
Tragic news. He's no longer with us. Legendary, famous Los Angeles car dealer Cal Worthington. Cal passed away Sunday on his ranch near Chico, California, at the age of 92.
Here's Cal Worthington and his dog Spot.
Go see Cal, go see Cal, go see Cal.
He died watching football.
It was never a dog. He didn't have a dog.
Sometimes it was like a lion.
That was crazy.
Or a tiger.
Elephant.
Yeah.
That's not a dog.
And I would say to the TV,
Spot. That's not a dog.
That's Spot's
what's
not a
he
dog.
Doing? Spot, that not is a dog.
Dog.
What's
going
on, Spot?
How did he not get... These commercials, some of these commercials are from the 70s and 80s that he was famous for, and I'm sure they didn't have the stringent animal control rules that they have now with, you know, people on set. How did he not lose an arm walking a hippo and wrestling a bear and all the other stuff that he was doing?
Because he was a man. Because he had a sack. Sometimes it was a gorilla.
You know what it wasn't?
Once it was a skunk.
You know what it wasn't?
A dog.
Never
a dog.
Not once a dog.
Didn't even start out a dog. That's crazy.
Let's hear a little of his awesome jingle, if you don't mind, Ralph, can we?
Sure.
Here's Cal Worthington and his dog, Spot.
If you're living short of cash, go see Cal. Trouble's over in a flash, go see Cal.
The down payment he'll arrange. Get a 10-day trial exchange. Go see Cal, go see Cal, go see Cal.
That's going to be my new insult when I want someone to die. I'm going to say, go see Cal, go see Cal, go see Cal. Bean to go see Cal. Bean, why don't you go see Cal, man?
They don't make him like Mr. Worthington anymore.
They do not. He was slightly used, but low mileage.
He's a nut job.
Today's celebrity birthdays, Joe Perry of Aerosmith, 63 years old today. Director Chris Columbus celebrates his 55th birthday. Colin Firth, what a super talented actor that dude is. Remember King's Speech?
Yes.
Whew, what a performance. 53 years old today. Drummer Robin Goodrich of Bush is 48 years old. Director Guy Ritchie is 45. Ryan Phillippe, my fellow Philadelphia boy, is 39 years old today. Geez, what happened with Philadelphia recently? I just saw in the news. I'm trying to think.
Eagles won?
Eagles! That's right. That happened.
We all scour the internet when we get up in the morning to see what kind of day it's going to be. The Eagles lost. We know it's going to be rough.
Did you see the first half of the game?
I didn't see it, no.
You did not see
it? No.
Well, you missed out on maybe the most spectacular display of offensive football in the history of the game.
Take it easy.
Maybe that happened.
maybe it
that's what happened.
Was it better than Peyton Manning throwing 7 TD touches?
It was not that good.
Okay.
No.
All right.
Mikey Way, formerly of My Chemical Romance, 33 years old today, and Matthew Folliwell of Kings of Leon turns 29. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
All kinds of Depeche Mode tickets for you on the show today. In fact, all week on the Kevin and Bean Show and throughout the day at K-Rock, we're giving away Depeche Mode at Staples Center. September 28, 29, and October 2nd are the dates. I know the first two are sold out. There may be a little tiny window of opportunity for you to get tickets for October 2nd, but you should check now. We'll have tickets for you all week long here on the world-famous K-Rock. Get your details at K-Rock.com.
So yesterday we were talking about this twerking video where the girl gets lit on fire, and I was firmly in the camp of this is fake. There's no possible way.
I don't recall
that this is real. There's that jar of alcohol on the table. Remember that?
I think my whole argument. I said that.
And then I said,
and that it looks staged, and
because maybe she was a stunt girl.
I said that, and then you said,
"Now you're trying to steal my thunder."
Hey, children! First of all, for folks who haven't seen the video, you can go to kevinandbean.com right now and watch it. Let's settle the debate as to whether the video was real or fake. As our man Jimmy Kimmel had the girl in the video on his TV last night. Here's how that went.
I showed you a video of a young woman named Caitlin Heller, who's now very famous for a video in which her haphazard twerking led to sending herself aflame. We were able to get in touch with her, and she joins us live now via Skype from Kansas City. Please say hello to Caitlin. Hi, Caitlin. How are you? Caitlin, I'll get straight to the question everyone wants answered. How are your yoga pants?
My pants are... They're a little burnt.
Why would you upload something which, I don't know, is kind of embarrassing?
I did not want to at first, but my friend kind of talked me into it, and here I am.
When you put it online, did you have any idea how popular it was going to become?
I had no clue. This is literally like my first YouTube submission. This is beyond.
Now, before we go any further, I think most people are wondering why the video stopped so suddenly. It seemed like there was more to see.
Now, remember, we were all asking
that question. Why did it cut off when it cut off?
I'm not sure you did.
I've been lying all along, but I did say that.
Let's hear what Caitlin says.
Why did it stop there?
Oh, it got a little intense, but I do have the rest of the footage.
Yes, you have provided us with the rest of the video.
All right, so at that point, Jimmy says, we're going to watch the rest of the video that was not in the original YouTube video, but I'm going to go ahead and join you. So he jumps into the curtain on stage where Caitlin is. She's not on Skype from her home in St. Louis. She's on the stage on the Jimmy Kimmel set with what looked like a bedroom behind her.
Okay.
That was all just props. So now Jimmy's in the picture with her, and they're talking about what happened.
To the conspiracy theorists on the internet who thought the video was fake, you were right. It was fake. We made it up. I'm also the guy who bit Charlie's finger, by the way.
So they showed the rest of the video, and remember where it cuts off as she's on the couch recoiling in horror because her pants are on fire?
Yes.
Well, at that point, the door opens, and Jimmy Kimmel walks in with a fire extinguisher, puts the fire out, and she says, thanks, Jimmy. And Jimmy gives a big thumbs up on the camera.
All right, wait a minute.
He was there for the original video. They made the video.
All right, wait a minute. Hold on. Just a minute. Hold on. Stop talking. Just a minute. You're saying the original?
Yes.
Came from Jimmy?
Yes. Jimmy was there the day it was shot. He walks through the door and puts out
the fire. Why would they do that?
We shot that video 2 months ago, and we posted it on YouTube. We didn't send it to any TV stations. We didn't. I didn't tweet it. We didn't put it on any news websites. We just put it on the internet, on YouTube, and let the magic happen. And the magic happened. It got 9 million views in less than a week. And your name isn't even Caitlin, is it?
Mind blown, Kevin?
Wait a minute. Her name's not Caitlin.
Her name is not Caitlin. Mind blown, though, right?
Yeah. Yeah, out of all the possibilities that I was able to consider, I was not able to get my head around that one.
No, not ever.
Yeah. It started from Jimmy Kimmel. He's not just turning this into something funny after the fact.
Like, just to see if they could get something going?
Yes, I think so. Let's find out more about the young woman in the video and how right Lisa was yesterday with her guess.
This is not Caitlin. This is, tell everyone your real name.
Hi,
My name is Daphne Avalon, and I am a stunt woman.
You're a stunt woman, and we swore Daphne to secrecy. You couldn't tell anyone, but did your any of your family or friends see the video and then wonder what you were doing in it?
Everyone saw it. I got numerous, like, Facebook, text.
Did any of them think it was real when they saw you in it, knowing you're a stunt woman?
My ex-boyfriend from high school sent me, like, this worried Facebook message, like, oh my gosh, I saw this video. It looks like you. Are you okay? Like,
you think he's still in love with you?
No, I don't, maybe.
So imagine 2 months ago they shoot this video, put it up on the internet, and now Jimmy's just waiting. He's just playing the long game.
Just
waiting for somebody to discover. And I wonder if people were searching for twerk videos, maybe even because of the Miley Cyrus performance on MTV. And maybe that's why it was revealed so recently. I wonder.
In other words, had she not done that and made such a big sensation, maybe it would have never come to.
Maybe. I mean, twerking's been around. Been around for a while. Obviously, they shot it 2 months ago. It was already a thing then. But I'm just wondering, like, how did it come bubble to the top now? And what must it have been like for this woman to know that she shot this thing and just be kind of waiting for the bomb to go off?
That's
and
weird.
Potentially having people recognize her. All right, a little bit more from Jimmy Kimmel Live last night.
I don't know.
we got a lot of interview requests for you sent to our YouTube channel, and we didn't respond to any of them. And even though the video was fake, that did not stop hundreds of news outlets from showing it. Some people even blamed Miley Cyrus as if this was her fault. But this is just a sampling of some of the many, many media outlets who fell for our little prank.
All right, so Jimmy, he plays a montage of news station after news station after news station talking about this crazy viral video, and then his conclusion at the end.
Well, thank you for helping us deceive the world and hopefully put an end to twerking forever. Daphne Avalon, everybody, if that is her real name. And remember, the important lesson here is believe nothing, trust no one, and everything you know is a lie.
Ladies and gentlemen, right. Jimmy Kimmel.
Everything he knows a lot.
Well played. Ryan Seacrest hosted something called the Million Second Quiz in New York City last night. It was live, right, Kevin?
It seemed to be, yes.
Okay.
Kevin's portions some pre-recorded. Though, it said.
Okay. Highlights to that for you coming up in about 50 minutes. Perhaps the most confusing game show ever put on television. We'll tell you about it on the way. First, though, Ralph was very excited yesterday and also very upset that he had missed what might have been the greatest night in a sci-fi fan's life, which is on one stage together, William Shatner, Captain Kirk from Star Trek, and Adam West, TV's Batman, both from their respective popular 60s TV shows. They were together where? At the Salt Lake City Comic Con.
Yes.
Yes, they made an appearance for
same
the first
stage,
time ever
same,
together.
Same time. What the hell?
That's pretty cool.
It's like a clashing of universes.
Cool. Yeah.
It is. It's like Marvel and DC in one movie. And apparently they've known each other for like 50 years. They did a project together before Star Trek and before Batman. So we wanted to find out more about this. We asked producer Davis. Anyway, we could talk to our friends. And I think we've got them both on the phone right now. Let's say first hi to Adam West. Batman, are you there?
Good morning, Kevin and Bean. How are you?
We're good. Doing great. Always a pleasure, sir.
Ralph's a little butthurt that you didn't give him a heads up, though.
Poor Ralph, yes. He made it quite clear that he was upset that I didn't give him the heads up about Salt Lake Comic Con, but I just can't keep the young man abreast of everything that I do.
Yeah, I can see that.
You're very busy, I understand. And I understand your good friend William Shatner is also there with you?
Good morning, Kevin the Bean. How are
you? We are good. So, do you guys live together?
Yes, Bill and I have moved in together.
That's
now.
Nice.
Now that gay marriage is legal.
Oh, you guys have been gay for each other this whole time?
A long, long-standing homosexual relationship between Bill and I.
Wow.
He's kidding, of course.
Oh, he's kidding.
Of course he is.
But you make a beautiful couple.
Horses.
Right, you love horses, right.
All right, Bill, I don't know that we need to hear
it's
more about that.
It's his charity event. He's talking about his charity event.
By the way, Kevin, I put you down for one of my tables.
Thank you, Bill. That's very nice of you.
So, just 10 grand.
Bill, why don't you tell us a little bit about this this movie or TV show or whatever it was you guys did together before each of you found fame with your respective series?
Well, back in 1965, Adam and I did a pilot for a TV show called Alexander the Great. And
who did you play?
I played Alexander the Great.
Okay.
And Adam was my right-hand man.
Okay.
General Cleander.
Sure.
That's right. Bill insisted on being the Great One, and I settled with just running around in a skirt and sandals.
Now, are you not bitter about that at all, are you, Adam? I mean, it worked out fine for both of you.
No, because I went on to television fame, of course, as Batman, showing off my incredible crime-fighting physique while Bill wore girdles in space.
Well, but he was kicking ass at the same time, don't you think?
I was. I was kicking Klingon ass.
That's right. And sleeping with alien women.
Having sex with green women. I believe those women became green after you slept with them.
Oh, no. Snap.
I kid, of course. I don't think I like your tone, Adam.
Oh, don't listen, you guys have been longtime friends.
Yeah, we don't want to break this up over just a little interview.
Fight over something so small.
This may be the last time we ever perform at a comic con. Really? That tired old bit?
Oh, Adam, that's kind of a staple of the Star Trek community.
Listen, Kevin, I don't want to hear any of your crap, okay?
Okay, all right, sorry.
Wow, what's going on here? This turned ugly fast.
Mister, your career peaked in 1968. I remember what you said.
That was poorly worded.
I believe it was. I don't think it was at all. Because I went on to T.J. Hooker.
Right.
Adam went on to Lady Chatterley's Lover or some soft call porn. How dare you, you Canadian bastard.
You guys really need to get along.
That's it, West. I've had it with you.
Oh, no.
Wounded. Phaser blast.
Right. Was it set for stun?
No. Hit me right below the utility belt.
Oh, man.
Testicle swelling.
That's not good. That sensitive area down there.
That must
prostate hurt. Enlarged.
Oh, no, Adam. No.
Be careful.
Do you need to...
Adam West.
What was the last movie you walked out of? We'll take your calls in the 7 o'clock hour this morning here on the Kevin Bean Show, plus hook you up with tickets for Depeche Mode and 8 o'clock hour. Can't wait. The genius, Kurt Sutter himself, the creator of Sons of Anarchy, is going to be in our studio for the full hour. Very much looking forward to that, and really looking forward to the latest season, season 6, I think, premiering tonight on FX.
First, though, it's time for the million-second quiz. That's the sound effect they use all the time.
Seriously?
Entire night. Million-second quiz. Here's our first contestant. And he's about to answer a question. And there's somebody else coming up now.
I don't know a lot. I don't watch much NBC. Who does? But I've seen a couple of promos for this show, and it seems unnecessarily complicated. You saw it last night, Kevin. Tell me how it works.
I'll try.
Okay.
First of all, it doesn't matter that you haven't seen NBC, because you will see all of NBC on this show.
Oh, really?
This is a promotional tour for NBC. So they've got TVs on in the background at certain points with MSNBC and CNBC on. And they have a guest from The Voice asking questions.
So it's an hour-long infomercial for the fine family of NBC stations.
Basically. But here's Ryan Seacrest starting off the show, and we're trying to figure out exactly how this game works.
We're live from New York, and this is the Million Second Quiz. The crowds have now gathered in New York City. Hundreds have come to the hourglass hoping to change their lives forever.
All right, hundreds have come to the hourglass. There's a line of probably 100.
Okay.
I'll give them 100. And there's a giant hourglass in New York City that's outside.
It's in Times Square, right?
I didn't see where it was, but it is outside in New York. So they come down there, and then they try to answer questions.
The countdown started yesterday morning and will continue around the clock for the next 10 days.
All right. So it started, this is last night. So it started Sunday morning.
Okay.
Okay.
And then 10 days later, after 100 million seconds or however long it is, then the game is over.
Okay. Already more than 100 players have competed for a chance to sit here. The money chair.
All right. The money chair is where you want to be, because if you're sitting in the money chair, you're making the money.
The money chair.
Okay. Where you want to be, because as soon as you sit in it, you start earning $10 a second. That's $36,000 an hour. $864,000 a day. To keep the chair, you must defeat challengers.
Okay. So you don't just have to answer questions, which is what I thought. They would ask you a question, you answer it, and you stay in the chair. You have to go head to head against the challenger.
Okay.
In every single question.
If you
and then
lose,
if they beat you, they kick you out of the chair and they're in the chair.
Okay. Do you get to take the money that you have accrued up till that point?
I do not
in
know.
The chair, or I wonder. I wonder if it goes back to zero and nobody gets the money. If you
I
lose.
Am not sure about that.
Okay.
I would. I don't know. Good okay. question.
One by one in head-to-head quiz bouts. If you lose a bout, you lose the chair.
You lose the chair. All right. So those are the rules so far. Now,
so far.
Now, the best contestants that answered and stayed in the chair the long enough, the top four, go to the winner's row. Where
Wait,
they
hold on a second. What's the winner's row? What's that?
It's like a boat cabin where they have like four. It's like a touring bus where they have like four cots and exercise bike, and they live there until someone does better than them, in which case they get kicked out, and then there's another person in the winner's row.
But how do you even have four if each time somebody beats you, you're gone?
Well, it has to be There's three other people in there. So whoever they beat, whoever has the lowest score, is the next one gone.
I'm confused.
I don't know. I'm not.
This is Winner's Row.
All right.
This is where the top four players who have held the chair the longest live, eat, and sleep. Until stronger players who have done better in the chair knock them out. The only way to win money is to still be here in Winner's Row in 10 days' time.
All right, so I guess if you're in the Winner's Row in 10 days... You get a share of the money?
Okay, it sounds like to me, and again, I didn't see this show, but it sounds like to me, if you're in the big chair on the main stage on the TV and you get
the money chair.
The money chair, sorry. If you get bumped from the money chair, you go to winner's row.
Only if your time in the money chair is better than one of the four people in winner's row.
I see. Okay,
if
so
it's
the
not,
people
you just
the,
go home.
The people in winner's row are the four people who have spent the most time and made the most money in the money chair. And
yes.
The goal at the end of 10 days is to be either in the money chair or be on winner's row.
Will you be here when the million seconds are up and take home the largest prize in game show history?
All right, so that's the big tease. So now they've got a guy in the money chair, and they start.
I love, by the way, that we're 52 minutes into this 1 hour show, and now we just finished the rules.
Now he starts talking to the guy in the money chair, and I'm thinking to myself, I'm going to give long answers if I'm making what was it,
$10 a second?
$10 a second. I'm going to give really wordy answers.
Well, I came and tried out first thing Sunday morning.
Right, because the game already started.
Game started Sunday morning. I was one of the first people to play Sunday morning.
It's an NYU student.
Won my bout, got in winner's row, spent some time there.
All right, so he won, spent time in the money chair, and then went to winner's row.
Okay.
Pretty good, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Got bumped. But came back in line to try out, got in the money chair again, and here I am.
All right, wait.
Okay, so he was booted from the show, then got back in line and got back on the show?
Yes. So he got to try it again. So now, they haven't promoted enough NBC shows, so they bring in Blake... Shelton, is that his name?
Right, from The Voice.
From The Voice.
Okay.
And he asks the question. This will give you an idea of the type of questions they ask.
Our next question is a question from The Voice's Blake Shelton. Here's Blake.
If your mom is a cougar, what would you have been as a baby? Is it A, fawn, B, cub, C, kitten, or D, foal?
Okay, so there's clearly no reason for him to be there except to promote The Voice. So he asked the question. Of course, it's Cub. They both get it right, so they're both tied.
Okay.
So I'm thinking, okay, how long can this go? How long can they be tied? And as soon as the challenger wins, he's kicking him right out of the money chair. That's going to be exciting. So here's another question that's based on current events and recent days.
What TV host was recently inundated with thousands of texts after she accidentally revealed her phone number on air? A, Rachel Ray. B, Hoda Kotb. C, Savannah Guthrie. D, Natalie Morales. Can we break the tie? Brandon in the money chair. What did you go with?
I went with C, Savannah Guthrie.
And Barry.
I went with B, Hoda.
So we have two different answers.
Uh-oh. The money chair's gone.
The correct answer is... B, Hoda Kotb.
The money chair's gone. The money chair's gone. That guy is out. Nope.
Barry jumps up by two.
Only jumps up by 2 points. He doesn't take the money chair.
Oh.
Nope, that doesn't work that way.
Oh, I see. It's not elimination if you miss one.
Nope, there's still some time.
By the way, how much music do they play on this show?
All music.
It's so annoying.
All music.
Isn't it?
There's a crowd that's supposedly there that's kind of not really. And then they bring in even more complications, the double.
What's the double?
It's something you can use as a contestant piece.
All of these countries have legalized same-sex marriage except one. A, Argentina. B, Germany. C, South Africa. Or D, Canada. Barry, our challenger, is up by two. All right, Brandon's hit the doubler. Stop the bout clock right there.
All right, Brandon's hit the doubler.
I don't know what's happening.
What's the doubler? Like, they didn't explain anything about it or anything. You just hit the doubler. So we all go, well, let's stop the clock.
I guess
Brandon,
the doubler's a thing now.
The doubler. So what happens?
Barry, that makes this a four-point question. So
4 points instead of two. I see. Okay.
It.
All right.
If you get it wrong, he will get double the points.
Okay. He doesn't have to get it right now, the guy in the money chair.
Mm-hmm.
Just the contestant has to get it wrong.
Because he hit the doubler?
Yes. Okay. And then if the guy in the money chair, if the other guy gets, the contestant gets it wrong, then the guy in the money chair gets double the points without even answering it.
Okay.
Pretty strong.
If you answer it correctly, you will get double the points. You want to answer it or double back?
Okay. Now, here's another thing. Now, the contestant can double back.
What does that mean?
The guy in the money chair, which I imagine means that it would be 8 points. To the guy in the money chair.
Does the guy in the money chair ever leave, by the way, in the whole time you're watching?
No.
He may still be there for
all
we
know. They were doubling, and there were people living in the winner's row, and they were on an exercise bike, and people lined up in Times Square, and strange doubling going on. Really, I have to go back and go through this with some scientists.
Like a flow chart or something.
Just to figure out what the hell.
I have to give Ryan Seacrest a lot of credit for being able to, A, keep these rules straight, and B, say them with a straight face.
Yeah, it doesn't. They just spring new stuff on you all the time. Like that doubling thing, probably 25 minutes in. Look, didn't even know it existed.
We knew they were going to try to make this as complicated as possible. When they named it the Million Second Quiz, already you go, why are you making me work so hard?
Right. Well, yeah. If you can stay in the winner's chair for a million seconds, that's, of course, the main. Right. But that's 10 days.
Yeah.
Right.
That's
exactly.
Not happening.
Clearly nobody's going to do that.
So right. Would you watch
not
it again?
Not in a million years. No. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and you are listening to The Kevin and Bean Show at 5 minutes till 7 o'clock.
Lisa is going for her 1,500th win in a row in Lick Lisa, coming up next right after the top of the
only
hour.
If she hits the doubler, though.
That's right.
If she hits the doubler.
As long as they don't double her back.
Then she goes on to the cot round, where she lies down and has a smoothie.
You said Lick Lisa, though. That's not what we're playing today.
No, you're right. I apologize. It's Lisa is the world champion in title fighting.
Lick out of his head.
I know, I can't. We are looking for contestants right now. If you want to win tickets for Depeche Mode at Staples Center, we're going to play title fight with Lisa versus Dave Sanchez, Dave the King of Mexico.
So Dave's going to try to knock her out of the
winner's
title
money chair.
Row.
The
title chair.
The money chair.
And then she goes to murderer's row, and then she gets doused.
So if you want to play for Depeche Mode tickets, give us a call at 1-800-520-1067. We'll do that coming up after the top of the air. What'd you think of that Million Second Quiz recap, Ralph? What'd you think of that?
I could not be bothered to try to figure out that show if I was watching it. I would just throw up my hands and say, what's on the other channel?
I got home about 9:30 last night, and I went and watched it. And I got about 25 minutes in. And I was like, I still don't understand this.
This
madness. Is weird.
You know, here's a great idea. Let's make a game so convoluted that people can't even tell whether they're rooting for someone or whether they're winning or losing.
I was all excited for a guy. He didn't move. Just sat there.
That's the way to get an audience behind you. You know who wants to be a millionaire? The last time there was a giant game show phenomenon? Here's how that worked. You got it right. That's true. That was how... Got it wrong.
Right, that was
That's how we knew as we were watching what was going on.
Any doubling? No.
No, there was no doubling. There was no fizzbin. Nothing.
I wonder, I can't wait for the ratings to come in from last night because NBC is pretty much committed to run this for 10 nights in a row.
Well, it is the most anticipated television event of the year.
I had forgotten about that. Yes, exactly. All right. Anyway, Ralph is here. Time for the Showbiz Beat now on a Tuesday morning Kevin and Bean Show. What's new?
For longtime residents of California, sad news to know that our good friend Cal Worthington has passed away. I remember when I first moved to Los Angeles, I watched a lot of late night television, which I still do.
That's what it's on, right?
Primarily, that's when he had his commercials on. And I would tell my friends back in Philadelphia, You gotta see, there's this dude who's got an elephant and he's selling me cars on television.
He's telling me it's a dog.
Cal Worthington and Wally George are the two biggest things I reported back to my friends. Like, it's crazy out here. Cal Worthington was a car dealer, and he had legendary car commercials here in Los Angeles. Beanie, can you give me a little taste of a Cal Worthington commercial?
Yeah, I'd love to.
Here's Cal Worthington and his dog Spot.
If you're living short of cash, go see Cal. Trouble's over in a flash, go see Cal.
The down payment he'll arrange. Get a 10-day trial exchange. Go see Cal, go see Cal, go see Cal.
If I'm not mistaken, it was Cal singing his theme song.
Was it?
Oh, yeah.
I think it was. You want to hear a little bit of how his pitch worked?
Sure.
This is a big old giant friendly supermarket of cars. Just acres and acres and acres of cars and trucks to show you. I'd like to invite you out. Hey, friends, if you're out buying a car, you ought to drop by Worthington Ford, see me first. Just see me first, give me first chance at the deal, and I'll give you two free dinners at Victoria Station.
He's just so so down home and so friendly,
yeah,
wasn't he?
Smooth.
I'll give you a couple dinners.
Two free dinners at Victoria Station.
Can't beat that.
That is worth going to check out the cars at the supermarket of cars, Cal Worthington Ford.
One of the spots I saw yesterday, he was giving cell phones to people who came in and gave him a chance to sell him a car first. And it was the old school, like 80s cell phones. Yeah, the bricks. It was awesome.
He passed away Sunday night at his ranch near Chino, California. He was 92 years old. Good run. Good run for our man, Cal. He will be missed. Gwyneth Paltrow's bad.
Why?
Yeah, TMZ reports that she cut off a school bus while driving her white Vespa scooter with her kid on the back. Everything about that just screams douchebag. You're tooling around L.A. on your Vespa with your kid on the back, and then you cut off a school bus. Driver had to slam on the brakes to avoid hitting Gwyneth and one of her children in the back of her Vespa.
Cut off a school bus.
Driving a Vespa. What a giant look-at-me douchebag thing that is. And you got your kid on the back of a Vespa. That's not safe.
No, I don't think so.
You're not a good parent or a good person on your Vespa.
She have anything about that on Goop?
She did. You should drive your children to school on a Vespa.
And if possible, cut off a bus.
That's right. And then slather them with golden balm made from the actual eggs of the kiwi bird we keep in our backyard. And what's next for Miley Cyrus? You know, Miley got in a little bit of trouble because of that twerking fiasco on MTV. She was supposed to be on the cover of Vogue magazine, but the editor, Anna Winkter, however you say her name, she said, no, she's trashy. Take her off the cover. So she will not be on the cover of Vogue now. She's got a new video out.
I still think she wins, by the way. I think she would trade being on the cover of Vogue for all the publicity and sales she got off of We Can't Stop from that performance.
But now she's just getting so desperate. And the new video for Wrecking Ball, her new single, has her riding nude on the top of an actual wrecking ball that's swinging back and forth. And more importantly, she is French kissing a sledgehammer. So that's where she is now. That's what she's got going on.
Is that code, French kissing a sledgehammer?
No, that's what she's actually doing. She's tonguing a sledgehammer, and it looks like a parody of a video. It looks like something that Spinal Tap would have put out with some girl like tonguing and making out with a sledgehammer.
Love it.
It's ridiculous.
All right, you make love to the sledgehammer. Go.
And she's taking it so super seriously. She's so... I weep for her now.
It won't surprise you when I say these two words for you, Ralph, about the director of that video, but Terry Richardson.
Oh, well, there you go.
Oh, there you go.
The only guy who can out creepy Bean, Terry Richardson, directing that video.
She was also dancing with a midget in Germany. I don't know if you saw that video.
Well, sure. Who doesn't?
That brought me around.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Matthew Falwell of Kings of Leon is 29 years old today. Bassist Mikey Way, formerly of My Chemical Romance, is 33. Ryan Phillippe, 39 years old. Director Guy Ritchie's 45. Robin Goodrich of Bush, drummer for that band, 48 years old. Colin Firth is 53. Chris Columbus, the movie director, turns 55. And legendary rock and roll guitarist Joe Perry of Aerosmith celebrates his 63rd birthday today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
Wake me up on the world famous...
Let's dance, people. Come on.
Yes, K-Rock. That is Avicii. It's the Kevin and Bean Show at 9 minutes after 7 o'clock.
A lot of great new music these days on K-Rock, including brand new Arcade Fire, 1 hour from right now. How about that? Arcade Fire's latest is called Reflector, and we'll hear that
right now. And our guest is Kurt Sutter from Sons of Anarchy.
Very excited about that.
A lot of good things coming up. First, though, we're taking care of some Depeche Mode tickets for you. We are looking for contestants. We have contestants on the line right now for a game we like to call the Kevin and Bean Title Fight.
Presenting Kevin and Bean's Title Fight. Two people enter the ring. Only one leaves with the tickets. Let's get ready to go to a concert.
So it's Lisa's versus Dave again. What do you think is the track record of Lisa versus Dave in title fight?
Yeah, there was a time.
There was
when
a time when he dominated.
Dave, not dominated.
All right,
he
dominated.
Was a little ahead.
Thank you, Kevin.
But clearly, those days are gone.
It's been a while since he's beaten you.
I had sucky listeners.
Last time you did. All right. But you can't
say I think the student has overtaken the master, if you want my opinion.
That's
but
correct.
Here's the way the game is played, basically, is Depeche Mode titles is what we're going to be looking for from the callers. Lisa and Dave will be telling their respective partners clues about the using words that are not in the title about the Depeche Mode song that they're looking for. You have to name as many titles as you can in 45 seconds. I think we have five within the 45 seconds we're going to try to get you to get. If you don't know, go ahead and pass. You can always circle back around and hit the doubler button.
Nope, there's no doubler button.
Basically, you can come back to it if you still have some time left on the clock. And name as many as you can, and somebody's going to win tickets for Depeche Mode coming up at Staples Center. Who is our first contestant?
All right, we have Benny and we have Jeff. Who do you want to go to first?
Benny and Jeff.
Let's go to Benny first. He is on line three. And since we're making him go first, that's a disadvantage. We'll give him the advantage of picking his contestant that he wants to play with. Who do you like, Benny?
Magical Lisa.
Yeah, you got it.
Loser. Right? You pretty much have to.
Yeah.
Lisa is your partner. All right, you understand how the game is played, Benny? You ready to go with 45 seconds on the clock?
Ready to go.
Good luck.
Another way of saying dudes is dudes.
People are people.
Nice. The son of God, and he's only for you.
Pass.
The opposite of nothing matters is...
Everything matters.
Oh, sorry.
Close. Close.
Keep going. Try again.
Sorry.
Close.
Pass.
The opposite of right is?
Wrong.
When you really like it when there's no sound at all.
Enjoy silence.
Okay. Yes. Let's go back to nothing matters. You said?
Nothing matters, right?
The opposite of nothing matters. Okay.
Yeah, right, I was a little quick on the ding there. I thought you were going to say everything counts, which is what we were looking for. Not everything matters. So you did not get that one.
That was well
and you
done,
also
Lisa.
You also oh, didn't you. Get personal
How
Jesus.
Did not get
which,
personal Jesus,
Son of God, just for you.
Come on.
That was the head me down right there.
All right. So that's wrong. Right. Enjoy the silence, people to people. So you got three, Benny. That's the number to beat. Three. You hold on, please. Let's meet our next contestant. Who's that going to be?
That is going to be Jeff. Hi, Jeff.
Good morning, Kevin and Bean, Lisa May.
Hi,
good
Jeff.
Morning, Jeff. You are
good
stuck
morning,
with Dave.
Let's do this, Jeff.
So, Jeff, what did you think of your mortal competitor, Benny? How do you feel he did with his 45 seconds?
Well, not too bad. I'm going to try and give it a better shot, though.
All right.
Okay.
Three is the number to beat. 45 seconds on the clock. Dave is your partner, unfortunately, so you're already starting to hole. But good luck.
All right. This is a slave, but what's the...
Servant.
All right, cool. This is weird... And let me see.
Strange Love.
Yep. Hell. The opposite of hell. What's the opposite of hell? God lives up there. If you die, you go. If you're a good person, you go to?
You're truly dumb.
Pass.
All right. The opposite of lie.
True. Policy of truth.
Yes! Right.
Three.
All right. I want more. It's the opposite.
Can't get enough.
Yep.
Nicely done. You win.
Ladies and gentlemen, we have a winner.
Hold on. Wait. Hold
have
on.
You never had any religious
How?
Training
Let's go
ever?
Back for 1 second to heaven. How do you not come up with heaven?
The opposite of hell. If you're a good person and you die, you go to. Why
God
did you think of heaven?
There. What the hell do you need? God lives there. It's the opposite
Even
of hell.
Even if you're an atheist, you don't believe in.
Jeff, we'd like to hear an explanation as to why you didn't know the word heaven.
Didn't I say heaven?
No!
No!
You
said pass!
Oh, all right.
We were asking you why you couldn't get heaven from those clues.
I love that he just won Depeche Mode tickets, but all we care about is why he didn't come up with heaven.
But come on.
The truth is, you do win. You got Master and Servant, Strange Love, Policy of Truth, Just Can't Get Enough. You are going to see Depeche Mode at Staples Center. Thanks a lot for playing Title Fight.
Thanks for playing Kevin and Bean's Title Fight.
Oh, yeah!
Sons of Anarchy, finally coming back for Season 6 on FX tonight. The man himself, Kurt Sutter, joins us in studio. He's the guy who created it and writes it, don't you know? He'll be here in the 8 o'clock hour on the Kevin
Show. Directs it, acts in it.
He does it all.
Yeah.
By the way, we can't give anything away about the premiere tonight, but Kevin and I are lucky enough to have both seen it. He doesn't give himself the most glamorous scene ever tonight, does he?
No, he doesn't.
All right. Let's turn our attention to, that's an awesome show. Let's turn our attention to something that's not so awesome. And that's whatever movie you paid the money for, sat down and then thought, I am not going to give 90 minutes of my life to this crap, and got up and walked out. It happened to Kevin just this past weekend. Tell us about it.
Look, I see a lot of bad movies, I'll be honest. But I love movies. I love the experience. I love going. I love just sitting there and eating and being in a dark theater, and it's nice and cool, and you can watch it get taken away into another world. But this Riddick, I knew before I left, was shaky. Because let's be honest, Vin Diesel is hit and miss big time.
But you like him very much in, say, the Fast and Furious movies,
I like the cars in the Fast and Furious and the supporting cast in the Fast and Furious. And he's okay.
He's not the draw for you. Okay.
He doesn't take away from it enough that I don't go. But when it's all him, and in this particular case, Riddick, the first, I didn't time it, but the first 25 minutes maybe, was just him and him alone. It was just... Vin Diesel. And there's no other actors or actresses to bump stuff off. There's a couple of animals that he's fighting. There's a lot of voiceover. He loves his voice.
He's not a Tom Hanks who can hold a screen by himself.
I needed to become an animal to survive. He does this ridiculous voiceover, and it's just like a love letter. It was, if I'm Vin Diesel, it was a love letter to me.
Yeah.
That's what it was. I love me. Look at me, me, me. Hear me talk. Look at me.
It was America's number one film over the weekend.
I know. And I usually will stick around till the end, but I wasn't feeling so great. And I was like, you know, I really wanted to see Katie Sackhoff.
Right. Because she's in it.
Not very much. When she first came in and they went right back to Vin Diesel, I was like, that's it. I'm out. I have other things to do.
Let's hear this clip of how much Vin Diesel loves Vin Diesel, shall we?
When in your last wishes, I was referring to you.
Not that the chains aren't a hot look, but no, I'm not going to straddle you in front of all these guys.
What if I killed all of them first?
Easy, boy. There's a lot more trank where that came from.
Yeah, I didn't see that scene. That would have been great.
pretty zippy dialogue. How far into the movie do you think you made?
Probably... maybe 35, 40 minutes.
You gave it a good try.
I tried.
That's an effort.
I do think so.
I have sat through the end of my share, more than my share of bad movies. I'd say I'm doing my part.
We're going to take your calls in a moment for what movie you walked out of and why at 1-800-520-1067. Title Fight champion Dave Sanchez in studio with us right now. What did you walk out of, Dave?
I walked out of Crash. Now, not the racist movie. Not that one. Not that one was great.
That was awesome.
Yeah, that movie was great. This is a movie in 1996, I believe, where people got off on being in car accidents.
Oh, I sort of remember this. It was a sexual...
Holly Hunter.
Yeah, it was
Holly
Hunter.
James Spader?
Yeah,
car
Rosanna Arquette.
Car accidents are a sexual turn-on was the theory of this movie. Okay.
And boy, I mean, I don't even know why I wanted to see it, but
had something to do with sex.
Probably.
What was it rated?
Rated NC-17.
Well, that's why you wanted to see
it. Yeah, but, you know, I wasn't the only one who walked out, and it took about 10 people walking out before I decided.
Really?
It was like a scene in a movie where people just start, like, they're talking, and then they walk out.
Right.
And then I just said, you know what, I'm with them.
Would you have stuck around, do you think, if no one left?
No, I just hated it that much, and I just couldn't believe it, and I was so bored, and it was... Oh, such a dumb movie.
Do these people go out and get in car accidents on purpose because it turns them on and then they have sex, or what do they do?
It was two people got into an accident and then they've got this connection, and then one girl introduces the guy into a scene that, you know,
it's like the rec club.
Underground scene, like a fight club where they get off on a accidents, and it was so bad. I don't know why did I waste my money on that?
It seems like that would be pretty easy to make good, because basically, you know, people are just going for the sex.
For the sex, yeah. And
so put that in there.
There was that, well, but it still couldn't save it.
Wow.
Let's hear a little bit of not the good crash, but the bad crash.
James Ballard has been seduced into a secret world.
The car crash is a liberation of sexual energy.
But the only way to connect is to crash.
It's the future, Ballard. It's something we are all intimately involved in.
All right. The first thing I notice is there's no chicks in that trailer.
This is a movie about sex.
James Spader. All right. Yeah. What's up?
What did you walk out on? We want to take your calls next at 1-800-520-1067. Taylor, you hang on. Angel, Daryl, Corey. Hey, I'm starting to see an Adam Sandler theme in a lot
that?
Of these movies that people walked out on. Lots of different kinds of movies, though. We'll take your calls next on the Kevin and Bean Show. I don't know if Kevin, I mean, listener Lou is teasing or not, but he says, Kevin, you may have left the movie Riddick too early. If so, you missed the Katie Sackhoff shower scene. I'm just saying. Please tell me he's joking.
Oh.
Wait, you're going to pay to go right
Hold
back
on.
If that happened, right?
Wait a minute. Is that true?
Well, I don't know. You're the one who went to the movie.
Why
and
didn't see that?
He may be kidding.
I would have stayed through that movie for 6 hours if I'd have known that was there.
He also adds, I walked out on the movie City Slickers. I know it was hugely popular, but I just could not get past the miserable first act. All those depressed guys because of their miserable lives. So he left City Slickers, which, by the way, was also a great movie. So he loses.
That was funny.
All right. We're taking your calls at 1-800-520-1067. What movie did you walk out of like Kevin did for Riddick and why? Let's start with Angel. He's on line two because this is a little bit of a surprise to me.
Hey, Angel.
Hey, Kevin and me. Hey, Lucy May.
Hello.
You walked out of what movie?
I walked out of Iron Man 3.
What?
It was offensive.
Who didn't like Iron Man 3?
What do you mean it was offensive? I mean, what was offensive?
It was offensive. Ralph may be the only one who understands this, but there's a certain twist in the movie where you find out a certain villain isn't really a certain villain.
Right.
And
oh, you're a comic book geek, and it went the wrong direction for you?
Well, I was sold a different movie in the trailer. The trailer was awesome. You had the, you're never going to see me coming.
Here's a little holiday greeting I've been wanting to send to the Mandarin. I just didn't know how to phrase it until now. My name is Tony Stark, and I'm not afraid of you. I know you're a coward. So I decided that you just died, pal.
Come on.
But isn't it possible, Angel, it still could have been a good movie, though, even if it wasn't the movie you expected? Sometimes that happens.
Nope.
All right, thank you for the call. Appreciate that.
I like the guy that's not even open to the option. That's awesome.
Kevin, meet Kevin.
That's high school of argument right there.
Let's go to Juan. Juan is on line three. He's also very, very wrong. Juan, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. What did you walk out of and why?
First, good morning, Kevin Bean, Lisa May, and
hi,
fire beer mug.
All right. Fire beer mug indeed.
I walked out of The Woman with the Dragon Tattoo.
That movie was so great.
It was awesome.
Yes. The first 30 minutes, no action, no nothing in the movie.
Okay, it's got a slow start.
Yes, thank you.
But at the end, she kicks ass.
You walked out of Riddick in 30 minutes.
But that was Riddick.
Minutes.
This is Girl with a Dragon Tattoo.
30 minutes later, it gets into the movie where it's exciting. I don't think so.
All right, I want to know from you, Juan, what's going on in your life that you don't have 30 minutes to let a movie ramp up until it gets awesome?
And by the way, that 30 minutes was not terrible. It was
not
just
at all.
Kind
not
of slow.
It was exposition. That's all.
Really, she goes in the subway. Wait, she goes to her house and then nothing happens.
Oh, Juan. But what if everybody that you've told that you left the girl with the dragon tattoo, have they all told you it was great?
I'm not going to. I actually watch movies. I enjoy watching movies.
Me too.
But that movie was.
You're wrong, dude.
No.
But here's
no.
what I'm sorry. This is not a question of writer.
It's science.
It's science, right? Yeah. You are wrong.
Here's the thing. If everybody that I knew told me that Riddick got great. Mm-hmm. I'd probably go back. I'd probably realize that I was wrong, I was in a bad mood, and I should just go back.
All right, let's get into some bad movies here, because so far we've only heard good movies that people walked out of. Let's go to Kevin. He's on line six. Let's find out what film he saw.
All right. Kevin, hi.
Morning, party people. Morning, Lisa May.
Good
and
morning.
Murder Beer Mug.
Murder? All right. Even better.
So I walked out of the John Cusack piece of crap called The Raven. Last year.
Ooh, now I did hear that was pretty stinky.
Oh, yeah, I didn't
see
that one.
I didn't see it, no.
That was horrible. I swear to God, they just took people who had acted in junior high and decided, hey, we're going to put you in this movie.
Did it look like a high school play?
No, a high school play would have been a hell of a lot better than that.
And by the way, I think we've all been there, even if we didn't walk out, where you go, like, for instance, that had an interesting premise from the commercial, and we all love John Cusack, so you had a reasonable expectation that it was going to be good. But you could tell from minute one, it sounds like, that it just didn't have the standards that you were looking for.
Oh, absolutely. And look, my name is Kevin. I sit through a lot of crap.
Yeah.
This wasn't one of them.
I hear you. All right.
Thank you for the call. Let's go to Taylor. Taylor's on line one. He's up next on the Kevin and Bean Show. What's the movie, Taylor, that you walked out of and why?
Now, this is going to get depressing for me because now we're getting into movies that I didn't walk out of that I should have.
That you should have. Oh, okay.
Taylor.
Hey, Lisa May.
Hello.
How you doing?
Good.
I walked out of Don't Mess with the Zohan by Adam Sandler. Yeah, I'm a big fan of Adam Sandler movies growing up. Grew up on Billy Madison, Happy Gilmore, all
the good
that
ones,
stuff.
The good movies.
Yeah, I went to that with my wife, and I got really uncomfortable real quick.
This is their first haircut, and it can be very frightening for them.
I can imagine.
I want a haircut!
Young man, you know, you shouldn't jump around when this nice woman's holding a sharp pair of scissors. If you move, she could slip and slice your jugular vein on accident.
Come on, with that accent.
And terrible.
Point proven.
Point for Taylor.
All right, Taylor, thank you very much for the call. Wow, we got some good ones. Let's go to Corey. He may have an interesting story on why he walked out of this particular movie. He's on line five. Hey, Corey.
Hi, how you doing? Good morning.
Good morning.
What'd you walk out on?
Well, I went to the movie theater with my girlfriend, and we saw Casa de mi Padre.
Oh, the Will Ferrell movie.
What?
Yeah, Will Ferrell movie, and the one that's in Spanish, and when I was watching it, I was like, oh man, you know, the beginning. And the
wait, did you know it was in Spanish?
No.
You didn't know it was in Spanish. All right, there's a problem there. All right.
And now, I didn't see this, but Will Ferrell doesn't speak Spanish, right? That's part of the problem in that movie?
Right.
Look, and even though the subtitles were included in the bottom of the screen, I still didn't understand it.
Look, I didn't think it was a good movie. But
nobody did.
But there's no possible way I could walk out on Will Ferrell. He's made some bad movies, but I love him so much that I sat through that.
Yeah.
Now, maybe I wish I had taken Corey's path. Sure, there's that. But I love Will Ferrell so much.
Yeah.
Thank you for the call.
he wanted to go on, but couldn't.
All right.
All right. We're out of time. The Stupids, the Tom Arnold movie, a listener walked out on. Phil walked out of The Purge. Do you remember The Purge, guys?
Oh,
wasn't
yeah.
it just this year or last? It was one of those.
The Purge was that night where you can commit every crime, wasn't
that's
it?
Right.
Oh,
yeah. That's right.
And I stayed, and I wish I left.
Frank walked out of Step Up 2.
Oh, how dare you.
I hope you went to see Step Up 3, though, with the King of Mexico, who was in that movie.
Frank Stupid.
And Tim walked out of Beyond the Pines. I got a couple of emailers from Beyond the Pines, too. That was the Ryan Gosling movie that confused everybody just a couple of months ago. Some people thought it was great. Other people thought it was what'd you think, Lisa?
It was compelling, but at the end, I just was very confused.
You're just like, why?
Yeah. But some people did think they thought it was a masterpiece. So.
Right, exactly.
No, they were wrong. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and you are listening to The Kevin and Bean Show at 5 minutes till 8.
Ralph is here. Time for the Showbiz Beat on a Tuesday morning. Then Kurt Sutter joins us to talk all things Sons of Anarchy. I'm so excited.
Before we get to the Showbiz news, how about some tickets to see a movie that looks awesome to me? I can't wait to check this out. New from Ron Howard. It's called Rush.
Yay!
Daniel Brühl. Chris Hemsworth. Boy, he's dreamy, huh?
Mm-hmm. Sure is.
Like to break me off a piece of that Thor hammer. You know what I'm saying? Olivia Wilde's also in this film. It's based on the true story about the rivalry in the 1970s between Formula One racers James Hunt and Niki Lauda. And this is all true. I mean, Lauda was horribly burned in an accident, got back into the car again. The passion these guys have for this sport is inexplicable to me.
I got to tell you, I was with you in that I do not care about that world. And I know nothing about it.
I'm not a racing fan.
But then I saw the trailer and I was like, that looks awesome.
The drama looks amazing. It's opening up in theaters everywhere on Friday, September the 27th. However, you, my good friends, will be able to see it on September the 18th at our very special K-Rock advanced screening of Rush. So why don't you do yourselves a favor and call right now, 1-800-520-1067. First five callers who get through with that number
get a pair of passes to our advanced screening of Rush. Now, it is based on the Paul Abdul song, right?
That is incorrect. No. Oh. That's not true.
It's Formula One racing.
I still haven't gotten a handle on this one. Yeah. I wish I was gay, James Franco says.
His roast would have made more sense.
He was doing an interview with the Daily Beast, and he said he's never been bothered by people questioning his sexuality.
Right.
Great, he said. Bring on the gay jokes, because these aren't insults at all. I don't even care if people think I'm gay. So it was like, awesome. I mean, I wish I was gay, he said.
I won't go so far as to wish I were gay, but I will say it's not an insult to call somebody gay.
No, it's not.
At all. So
Those days are over. It's a ridiculous train of thought to say to someone you're gay as if that's a bad thing.
Right. And that, I mean, it really, really struck home with me during that Franco roast when guy after guy after guy got up and that was the crux of their comedy. I thought a lot of that stuff really fell short.
Yeah. It doesn't bother me in the slightest, he said. Gay jokes as an issue is one thing, but when people make fun of me being gay, it's like, do it all day. It doesn't bother me. So, it's good to know. And seriously, think about it. If you were gay, you'd be in much better shape, first of all.
That's true. You'd look better.
I would have a much better sense of style, and I would dress better.
You'd still have that mustache. You never would shave that off.
I would have an awesome mustache. And getting laid, by the way, if you're gay, is not that big a chore. You can have a lot more sex if you're gay.
Yeah, it's a good point.
And you can have sex and then watch football with that person you just had sex with, and you both will enjoy it equally. Boy. Yes, there's something to be said for gay.
But is there women in it?
Yes,
Kevin. Are women involved?
Yeah, Kevin. There's lots of women involved
with
male gay sex.
All right. So much heterosexual sex when you're gay.
You're just... I don't understand. I don't get it. You're wearying.
You are not in the money chair, Kevin.
You did not hit the doubler. Speaking of gay, Ellen DeGeneres. Her talk show came back this week. She sat down with Leah Remini, of course, from King of Queens, soon to be seen on Dancing with the Stars, most famous recently, probably, because she has rejected her longtime church, the Church of Scientology, and she is speaking out in many venues against it. How long was she a member?
Oh,
many years.
Most of her life? Lifelong.
Yeah.
Wow.
She sat down with Ellen DeGeneres as a guest on Monday's show. They just briefly touched on this controversy. Here's a little audio tape.
Can we talk about the Scientology thing just for a minute?
Certainly.
All right. It's a mysterious, you know, Scientology. There's this kind of thing that nobody knows anything about it. And now you're not in that religion anymore.
Right.
And I guess the one question is, why did you choose to leave, if you can answer that?
Well, you know, my mother got involved when we were very young, so mm-hmm. it's all we really ever knew. Mm-hmm. But over time, my eyes opened and I just could no longer be affiliated with the organization, and my family felt the same, so we left.
Mm-hmm. And is it now, and how are you? Because I hear it's different than leaving another religion. So are you okay?
Yeah, I'm okay. Yeah. To answer your question, it was, you know, it's hard, and we have lost friends that can no longer talk to us who are still in the organization. But
now that is a thing when you leave a church, they can't talk to you, or you can't talk to them or something?
Correct.
Wow.
And these are friends that we've had for, you know, dozens of years, but I have great friends, other friends that are not in the church that have stood by us, and our family is stronger, we're together, and that's all I can.
By the way, how terrified did Ellen sound to even ask the question?
So she couldn't ask a direct question. It was all just licking around the edges.
And Leah didn't really answer either.
Are you okay?
Well, why did you leave? She didn't really answer that question.
She said her eyes opened. I guess she was inferring that there was...
Right.
I want more.
By the way, I want more also.
But is it different that... So when you're in that, is it hard? It's not like leaving other things. Like, it's not like leaving a coffee shop. It's not like leaving a grocery store.
She probably had somebody else start her car after the show, too.
Yeah, she definitely sounded uncomfortable. They come after you if you leave the church. They give you a hard time. How about that question, Ellen? Yeah.
What is Scientology hiding?
Is it like leaving a phone booth? Is it like leaving the back of a station wagon? No, just get to the question.
There's something wrong with anybody who tells you who to be friends with.
Yes. And why was that interview, more importantly, held at a power plant?
I don't know.
It was the worst audio that I've ever heard. Somebody's using a vibrator during the interview. That's a more important question.
Bean, were you using a vibrator?
Yes, I was.
All right. All right. Answers my question.
Good enough.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Guitarist Joe Perry of Aerosmith is 63 years old today. Chris Columbus, director who gave us Home Alone and other films.
One or two of the Harry Potter movies, if I recall correctly, too.
Colin Firth, 53 years old today. What a great actor. Robin Goodrich of Bush, the drummer for that band, 48 years old. Director Guy Ritchie's 45. Ryan Phillippe, the actor, is 39. Mikey Way, bassist formerly of My Chemical Romance, turns 33. And guitarist Matthew Folwell of Kings of Leon.
Used to be good. I hope people don't judge you by this album. Everyone used to be good. That was back when it was all good.
He is 29 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Very excited to have that band back. We've been waiting a long, long time. Speaking of waiting a long time, tonight on your TV on the FX network is a little program coming back for season 6 called Sons of Anarchy. It was last on in the late 80s, I think, is the last time the show aired. But we thought we'd get caught up on what's been happening the last 20 years with the creator and executive producer and director and writer and actor from Sons of Anarchy, the great Kurt Sutter, in studio with us.
Hey, thank you.
Been waiting for this a long time. Kurt, how are you, my friend? Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show.
Thank you. I'm very glad to be here.
You were just telling us briefly during the song there that, thank God shows don't really go away anymore. Even though it's been 9 months since the end of season 5, we have at our disposal the ability to kind of still keep up with programs and watch them whenever we want now in this new digital world.
Yes, and unfortunately, I don't go away either. So,
Well, we're glad you're back. We're glad your show's back tonight. Let me ask you this question, though. Season 5 is not terrifically available. Or did I just miss out somehow? I tried to get it on video on demand. They had the 3-minute replays. I wanted to watch the season again.
Well, I know the DVD is out now.
It is. Okay.
You know, and then I think what they usually do is they wait a month and then release it on Netflix.
Oh, is that
just
how it works?
So they can sell some DVDs.
Right. Sure. That makes
sense. But I do know that it's on Amazon and iTunes and basically, we want you to continue to pay for it.
Okay. All right. That's a good enough answer, and I will, because I love it.
It's so hard to keep everything straight when a show goes away, you know, especially a show like yours that has a lot of players who all dress alike and a lot of hairstyles that look alike.
Yeah.
And so many plot lines going on at once. I mean, I think I do need a little bit of a refresher before it comes back tonight, for sure.
Yeah, I always do.
Tell us what we need to know before tonight's episode. And Bean and I have both seen tonight's episode.
And we're going to try very hard not to give anything away.
We're not going to give anything away, and we're both the same way in that we have the first 3 episodes, but we don't want to watch them because we want to have that anticipation for next week. What do we need to know?
You need to know – well, we left off with we see Jax and Gemma and Juice basically set Clay up and frame him for the murder of Damon Pope, knowing that he will be going inside and for the fate that awaits him there from Pope's community inside the jail.
You know what I think was cool about that is that he just doesn't seem to care. He's in jail.
Right.
He knows it's a setup.
Right.
He knows really who did it.
Right.
And he just doesn't – it doesn't seem like he has any feelings on it. Just like,
well, to me –
that's the way it happened.
To me, I think once Gemma betrays Clay, that's sort of like the thing that breaks him.
That's like, the end anyway?
That's sort of like the ultimate betrayal. I think he would have seen perhaps anything else coming except that.
Right.
So to me, that's sort of the – you know, if there is anything that can shift Clay towards anything that feels like a conscience or what have I done, it will be that betrayal.
Right.
And that kind of
gets me, before we hear some of the other plot lines that are in play right now, that kind of gets me to a larger question about the characters on your show is they know that they're bad people. Do they accept that there may be hell to pay at some point, that their number may be up and they may bad things may start happening to them, or do they believe they're invincible? Because they certainly act like they're invincible.
I think some of that is the nature of the subculture, or any outlaw subculture, really. I don't think you can live in the presence of mind of, if I do bad things will happen to me, you know? I think it's just you sort of know, you sort of do what's in front of you and deal with the ramifications as they happen.
Certainly in that world, if you're afraid of doing things because it'll come back to get you, you'd never last.
You're done.
You just would never last.
And, you know, and there's a lot of people that have survived a long time with that type of mentality, and then others that don't. You know, the thing that I want to convey or try to convey and my experience with the people that I know that are in that life is just really trying to have the responsibility of having none of the violence ever happens in a vacuum. You know what I mean? Like there is always blowback. There's always consequences for every action, so that, you know, even as epic or as extreme or absurd as some of the violence can be, it always comes back around. Even in this first episode, you know, the thing that ultimately comes back to bite them in the ass is just this sort of throwaway line, this throwaway story point that happens, you know, halfway through season five that you just think is, oh, it's just part of, you know, the ongoing story, and you don't really pay much attention to it. And
then you don't realize how big it's going
to
become.
Yeah, and then you think, oh, they were just doing that to sort of, you know, help a business deal out and smooth things over, not realizing that X was going to happen. And that's the stuff I love to do, because that's, I think, is ultimately what's very real. Those are the things that usually, the unforeseen things that come back to bite you, you know.
The other major plot point that we'll pick up tonight when Sons of Anarchy returns on FX is Clay's not the only family member in jail. That's Bring right. us up to date with what's going on with Tara.
Orange is the new black.
I have heard that.
Nicely
too.
Done.
And, there better be a shower scene, Kurt Sutter. There better be a shower scene.
I got somebody tweeted like somebody tweeted saying, "Didn't you know the bad haircut was optional?" Tara. You know, we leave the end of last season with Tara, you know, being the good old lady and really trying to help the club and reach out to Otto and. And that all goes very wrong, and she ultimately is, you know, on the hook for for aiding and abetting, and gets hauled off to jail, and we're left with not quite knowing who blew the whistle on her or how that how that came back around to her, but we have some ideas of who that might be, and so we end the season with her being sort of hauled off to jail right on the heels of Jax ultimately finding out that she has plans to split and take the kids. So that there's a lot of
good times on Sons of Anarchy.
Good times.
Good times for Jax.
And by all means, bring the kids.
I guess at least we don't have to worry about him being a traditional single father, because the one good thing about being in a club like that is, you know, it's a village to raise the kids. I mean, he's got lots of people who can help, I guess, with mm-hmm. looking after the kids with mom behind bars. All right, we got to take a break. Kurt Sutter is here from Sons of Anarchy. We have many, many questions we want to get to, including what a dick Otto is. We want to talk about that. And by the way, your tongue grew back nicely, Kurt.
Thank you.
We'll return more with our guest in a moment right after this on the Kevin Beach Show on K-Rock. The creator of Sons of Anarchy, Kurt Sutter, is in studio with us here on the Kevin Beach Show. You can follow him on Twitter at Sutter Inc. or follow the show at Sons of Anarchy. It returns tonight on the FX Network at 10 o'clock with a special 90-minute episode. We were talking about Otto right before we had to take a break. Otto had a... I know Otto had a rough season five.
Yeah.
When people see how Otto's season...
Kurt is Otto.
Yes.
Okay.
When people see how Otto's season six begins, they ain't going to be jealous of him, I'll tell you that. It's not the most glamorous scene you've ever shot, Kurt.
No, it's not, and I don't want to give anything,
I don't either.
Give anything
I don't
away,
either.
But let's just say...
It doesn't get better for him.
Let's just say I take one for the team.
Yeah. Yeah, hard.
Let's forget Miley Cyrus's tongue. Let's talk about Otto's tongue from season five. Tell us what went into that now classic scene. The scene that people are going to remember about Sons of Anarchy in 50 years is the scene with Otto and his tongue in the interrogation room. Tell us about that scene.
You know, Otto obviously is he's my anti-Dorian Gray. I felt like... he's a guy who's at the, you know, that doesn't really foresee much of a future. And how would a guy like Otto ultimately prove that he was not going to talk, you know?
And so he's sitting across the glass.
He's sitting across the glass. And I thought, well, he's a guy that if he wanted to show somebody that he wasn't going to talk, he'd, in front of them, bite off his own tongue. And, And that's what we did. And then the
But you did it by smashing your chin, by sticking your tongue out.
Well, I did the research and I figured out, well, how would one actually bite off their tongue? And you would need, you know, there would have to be some...
You need more force.
Yeah, you need more force. And I put a lot of thought into
things like that. Who was researching that? Like, what kind of videos were you watching on YouTube?
That's why I have my own office away from the rest of the family.
You got a lot of little kids in the house. Yeah, they don't need to be a part of that.
They don't need to be part of the experiments.
Was it tough to shoot that scene?
You know,
he slams his chin on the table and bites his tongue right off.
You know, we work with this great prosthetic house, and it was the same people that did my eye. I went and did a cast of my tongue, and so that was all, you know, my rubber model of my actual tongue that my other tongue fit inside of, and you know, it was all very very scientific and technical. But as I was saying, the throwing it at the glass was in the script, but I just thought, all right, this is me just having fun, and I don't know if it's going to work. It's, you know,
that might be too much.
Even I said, maybe that's too much.
Right. Well, you just bit your own tongue off.
Yeah.
What's too much at that point?
And that part, we couldn't get the tongue to actually stick because it was rubber. It kept bouncing off the glass.
That's not really the desired effect.
Yeah. So we had to, like, we had to rig it with string and then drag it down. That part actually took longer than twice as long than the rest of the scene. And I didn't know if I was going to use it because it was so wacky. But, you know, in post, putting it together, we had it from the perspective of that other room with Donald Logue's character watching it. And his reaction to it was like
horrified.
So magical.
Yeah. Yeah, it was, really just, was good.
And I thought, oh, my God, this actually works. And
that was a surprise to you. At that point, you thought you might just lose that.
I just thought, I was like, all right, because at a certain point, you know, we're rigging this thing up and we're pulling it down, and I was almost ready to pull the plug on it because we were way behind, and I thought, all right, well, I'm committed now. I have to at least see what it looks
get
like.
It done.
And,
that's awesome.
And then we managed to make it work.
Is there any levity shooting this show with as serious as so many of the scenes are and so many of the characters are?
It's all levity.
You guys have a good time on set.
We really do. I mean, there's a lot of dark humor in the show, obviously, and you have to have that that balance because it's a pretty grim world. And we just
You know what? There's some dark humor in that world. I wouldn't go with a lot.
No.
Okay. Perhaps. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, it's not a laugh fest.
Right. Well, it's interesting. My initial research for this world, and I went up to Northern Kelly and spent a lot of time with these guys. And I will say that one of the things that I was struck by, and one of the reasons why I had a sense that this could potentially be a series is, you know, was within that camaraderie, within that the danger of the world, you know, they themselves balanced it with a tremendous amount of humor. I mean, they constantly were giving each other crap and going off on each other and I just laughed so much when I was up there hanging out with these guys.
So you didn't come personally from a biker culture. You researched it to create this world on the show.
Absolutely. I've always been fascinated with the subculture. I've been riding motorcycles since my early 20s, but I've always sort of looked at it from afar and been attached to a couple projects in the feature world with that, but as far as the show, you know, really dove into it for this project.
I saw that one of your influences was the Godfather movies, and that always is what struck me about this series, is it's very, very much just the Godfather set on bikes. Mm-hmm. I mean, because of the loyalty. And the family that will betray each other at certain points, mm-hmm. even though they're the most loyal people in the world. It just struck me as that kind of opera playing out on bikes.
I think so, and it's that notion of you know, how do you go legit? How do you extract yourself from that world? And can you really, truly, at the end of the day, which, you know, I think will sort of what we're running to in terms of this series is, you know, will Jax be able to extract himself? Will he be able to go legit? And
is that what he wants to do? Does you think he wants to get out of the life? Because it seems like he's happy being this dude right now.
I don't think he wants to get out of the life. I think what he wants to do, as what his father wanted to do, is ultimately reduce the danger. you know, like how
avoid the
arrests, avoid the death, avoid the blood, you know. And I think part of it for him is how do we get out of guns, you know, how do we take what we have? And not that, you know, escorts and porn is, you know, that's pretty fringe. That's a pretty fringe world as it is. But compared to running guns and drugs and everything else, it's pretty moderate and fairly safe.
It's a lot softer, too.
Yeah.
Let me ask you one more thing, and then we have to take another break with Kurt Sutter in studio with us, talking about Sons of Anarchy returning on FX tonight at 10 with the season premiere of Season 6. There's been a lot written about the year of the anti-hero with great shows like yours and like Dexter and like Breaking Bad and everything like that. Is it a fine line for you as a writer to create characters and week after week put characters on the screen that are clearly bad guys and still make us root for them and want them to get away from it, whatever there is they're doing? Because by all accounts, in the real world, all of us would want to see Jax go to jail, but we end up loving this guy. How do you walk that line so well?
You know, I don't ever have there's no conscious effort in my part when I write this show in terms of how do I walk that line. I think, you know, if you make it about character and a guy's struggle really to be a good father, to be a good brother, to be a good son, you know, those are ultimately his goals, and yet he does some, you know, really tragic, heinous things. I think, you know, therein lies the balance.
Do the characters bring some of that likability?
Oh, I think so. I mean, I've been very lucky, and I think half the challenge in a show like this is casting. You know, and Charlie Hunnam, you know, has that great balance of charisma and likability, but yet, you know, has that edge, you know, and you know, Charlie comes from a rough neighborhood in Newcastle, you know, and, his father was, a bit in the life. And, so he understands that world and the sensibilities of it. And you need a guy like that. You need a guy that can tap into that energy or it just feels like, you know, BS.
Right.
And let's not forget the hottie who plays his mom, Gemma, too, by the way. You know what I'm saying? How about that lady, huh?
How about that stuff?
How about that, right? All right. Kurt Sutter is here. One more segment on Sons of Anarchy when we return right after this on The Kevin and Bean Show on K.
We have Kurt Sutter in the studio with us. He, of course, is the creator, executive producer, director, writer, actor, all-around good guy from Sons of Anarchy, which returns tonight on FX.
That's all you do, Kurt? Those are the only things you do for the show?
I do catering as well. I'm often on set toasting bagels.
I have a lot of – we have so many questions that we're trying to cram into such a short time with Mr. Sutter here. But let's talk about the music for a minute, because I know that you're a huge music fan, as is your beautiful wife, Katie Sagal, who we've heard sing on the show before. You got some surprises for us later this year, right?
We do. We my music soup and composer Bob Field Jr. has is a great ear for talent and what works on this show, and he does all our our covers and stuff, and we're doing some great covers this year. We're doing a great cover of a Jackson Browne song called "For a Dancer" that actually Katie is singing. And we also
get that gig,
you know,
sleeping with the director.
There you go, laying it down. And then we have one of the new Pearl Jam songs.
Awesome!
It's going to be awesome. It's one of their new rockers. And
what was it like dealing with them?
You know what, Bob? The great thing is a lot of these, a lot of these guys that manage these bands now, they're younger dudes and they're big fans of the show. And you know, it's cable, so we don't pay anything. You know, so
you have to do it for the love.
You have to be really a fan to like get a song on the show. And they've actually reached out to Bob and. So we have
cool.
We have a Pearl Jam song. We have this great new Civil War song that's on episode 5. Yeah, it's just
And you had Jane's do something for you last year, right?
Yeah. Well, Navarro through the Navarro connection.
Sure. Yeah, I wanted to ask you about that.
They did Sympathy for us.
So he calls you up, and I imagine. This is how I imagine it goes. Hey, Kurt, it's me. It's me, Dave DeVero. I love your show. I'll do anything. Please put me on your show. And do you just say yes? Or does he doesn't have to come in and audition like everybody else?
No,
right?
Here's the deal. I've known Dave on and off for a while, and I don't know what on and off means. That sounds,
it sounds like you've had fights along the way.
We've been having lover's quarrels. You know, I've known Dave for a while, and I've always, you know, been a fan of his with Jane's, and when he was with the Chili Peppers.
He's a great guy.
He's just a really great guy, and we had this character, you know, that was sort of this sidekick to Tenero, and I like to do, I kind of like to break the mold a little bit and do some interesting casting throughout the season in smaller roles, you know. And that was one of the ideas, and we reached out to him. And I knew he was a fan of the show. And
he gave him a bitch and scar, I'll tell you that.
And we took the pretty out of him. And it's interesting because I hadn't foreseen, you know, that was sort of a one or two off in last season, but it's one of those things where there was a great time. And we get to, you know, bring that some of that storyline into this season. So
yeah, we'll see him tonight. You'll see
fluent
him
in Espanol
tonight.
As well.
Yes.
And by fluent, you mean Espanol is the only word he knows.
That's correct. Yes.
I want to talk about your tremendous cast. You mentioned Charlie Hunnam, who's just amazing. What do you think with his 50 Shades of Grey news this week? Are there a lot of women out there who may never have heard of Sons of Anarchy, but now all of a sudden pretty boy Charlie Hunnam is on their radar and they might check you out tonight?
That would be awesome. I would, I think so. I was talking to, our media guy Dom beforehand, and I, you know, I was aware of the book because you know my wife of course read it,
sure,
but I just associated it with a different demographic. You know, I thought it was an
totally
older demographic. So
yeah, I do too.
And so suddenly to have, you know, have it be like the Twilight demographic going, you know, on fire. I was stunned, you know. And it's all great, you know, and hopefully that will be the case. And
they're going to love him, though. They're going to love him.
He's going to be great.
The great Jimmy Smits
is
on your show as Nero, and he is tremendous. He may be the most likable character on your show.
Yeah, I think that's true. I've been a fan of Jimmy's for a while, and Jimmy's one of those great actors that, you know, it can be a 5 or 6 on the page, and you know that going in. And it'll end up being a 9 and 10 on screen.
Were you a little bit worried when he joined the show that he was too big of an actor, sort of? Because he really does disappear into the show pretty well.
You could have been concerned that he was too well known. That's an excellent question.
Yeah, you know what? I think. Why? Thank you, Bean.
I don't get that much credit.
That's true. There's one in the esteem column for today. I think, I wasn't worried about that just because I had long conversations with Jimmy about the character, and I knew he saw it as an opportunity to disappear a little bit, and not like an image changer, but just the opportunity to roll up his sleeves a little bit and not play the token Latino in a network series, and you know, just to be part of a world and part of an ensemble. And you know, he's so talented and has such gravitas, and you know, I have a
does he like the fact that this show does not rest on his shoulders?
I think so. I think he really does, and I think he likes being part of something bigger. And he's so much fun because, like, I just wrote a scene in this last episode that we haven't even shot yet, and it's between him and Dayton Callie's character, Unser, you know? And it's this quirky, odd little scene that if I didn't have these two great actors, I probably never would have written.
Oh, really?
But I just, even in the read-through yesterday, I just, like, go, oh, man, this is going to be magic watching these two work with each other, you know? And when you have great actors, it influences your choices as a writer and going, wow, that's a scene I want to see, and I'll use it to advance story this way, you know?
Is it difficult moving into season 6 thinking I need to top all 5 seasons?
You know,
because don't you sort of think that each new season?
I think it's
your goal, I imagine.
You have to. What I've learned is that you can't put that at the top of your list or your you're dead.
You're screwing yourself.
You know what I mean? Yeah. So I just think the nature of the world is such, and the stakes just organically keep getting higher and higher and higher and higher, which is really why, you know, I think there's only room for one more season after this. You know what I mean? Yeah. I think it just begins to happen organically, and hopefully that'll be the response, is that people continue to like the season.
Well, I'll tell you
more.
That tonight does come back with a boom.
Mm-hmm. It sure does. It sure really does. And by the way, that last 30 seconds of tonight's episode is just a jaw dropper too. Mm-hmm. You're just like, oh no, like you didn't think things could get any worse. My God. I have to ask you this one more thing, Kurt, and
yes,
I've
sir.
Been sitting on this ever since, spoiler alert, from season 5, when you kill off a major character.
Yes.
Are you of two minds? Like, you know it's great for the story and the audience, you know, will react to it. But on the other hand, you're letting something go that you've created. Is it tough for you to kill somebody off?
It really depends on the actor. You know what I'm saying? No, it's always very difficult. You know, because, you know, first of all, you're taking a big risk in terms of audience because people are plugged in and
maybe that's their favorite character. And,
yeah, you know, yeah. So there's always that risk. But for me, it's like I really try to let the story lead me there. You know, there's been a couple of times throughout the course of the series where I've had actors that either wanted to leave or had to leave because of other commitments. And then you have to sort of scramble and figure it out. But in terms of, like, you know, especially and this is a season 5 spoiler, I guess, with Opie, you know.
I didn't even want to say his name, but okay, now it's out there.
Sorry. You know, it was the kind of thing where I love the actor I had creative conversations with Ryan, and it was like, there was, where else do you go with that character, you know? And Ryan played him so soulfully and so, you know.
Oh, it was devastating. I mean, between what happened to him and what happened to Tig's daughter, I don't know whether you need therapy or not, but I know that I do. I mean, you devastated me, really.
I'm spending a few grand a week on medication and therapy, my friend. So
we're
doing the best I can.
Why do I keep coming back every week to be so sad? That's what I'm trying to figure out.
Because it's so sweet. That's
it's
why.
It's so good, you guys. Sons of Anarchy. Hey, look, just ask the Emmy voters. They'll tell you it's the best damn show on TV. It's on FX Tuesday nights. It returns for season 6 tonight at 10. You're no friend of the Kevin and Bean Show if you don't tune in and watch it tonight and every week. Kurt Sutter, ladies and gentlemen, our guest on the Kevin and Bean Show. Thanks for coming in, man.
Thanks, kids.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and you are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show at 8:56.
Coming up right after the top of the hour, not only do we have more tickets for you to go see Depeche Mode at Staples Center, we have that. Kevin is going to try to explain to us, Ralph, what the rules are for NBC's new Million Second Quiz game show.
This should be good.
Now, maybe I'm not the guy that should have drawn this
You're
assignment.
You're not the guy to give us the complex rules to a brand new game. Why don't you try to explain cricket to us
while
you're
at it? It's not a simple game, I'll tell you that.
It sounded complicated just for what Ralph originally told us about when the show was announced, but apparently it debuted last night. Kevin watched it. He brought in some tape, and we're going to find out how Million Second Quiz works right after the top of the hour. First, though, Ralph is here with the Showbiz Beat on a Tuesday morning.
No way it can be good either, by the way, that show. Because if you have to build like a glass case in Times Square and have people watch you do it inside the cube or whatever, you're automatically just gilding a turd. You're just dressing something up to try to create excitement about something that
you're starting with a gimmick.
You just can't maintain. It's what you're saying is basically, hi, ladies and gentlemen, what we have for you is not nearly entertaining enough on its own. So what we're going to do is we're going to just put it in the middle of the street, and maybe that will make it interesting for you.
But at least it's very clear and easy to follow.
It's David Blaine in that acrylic cube hanging over the
strip. I wish it was that simple.
Or him in a bucket of ice or something. Just what are you doing? All right.
Well, I'm excited to hear the monkey explain it.
Move on with the showbiz news. Oh.
What? It's got you down.
If you're kind of short of change, go see Cal.
Yeah.
A low payment he'll arrange, go see Cal.
Here's Cal Worthington and his dog Spot.
Go see Cal. Go see Cal. Go see Cal.
Well, howdy, I'm Cal Worthington of Worthington Ford. Friends, you know, I've been your new car dealer here in Southern California for over 57 years.
Wow.
wow, he sold cars for a long time.
And that commercial was from 20 years ago.
Right.
57 years.
The legendary Los Angeles car dealer, we all knew him from his commercials where he introduced us with his to his legendary dog Spot, which was never a dog. It was a gorilla, it was a tiger, it was a skunk, it was an elephant, but it was never a dog. Cal Worthington passed away at his ranch near Chico, California on Sunday, 92 years old. Watching football. That's how we went.
All right.
Yep. That's how you want to go, right?
That's how I want to go.
It's a way to go.
Yeah. He'll be missed, sort of.
It's been a while, but...
It's been a while since I've seen one of his commercials, yeah. So I wasn't really missing him then. I wasn't saying, hey, where the hell's Cal? But now that he's gone, now I feel bad. I should have checked in with him more. Yeah. I should have went to visit him up there in the Chino Ranch.
I didn't realize, by the way, I always thought he was a Southern California thing, but his range extended all the way up the West Coast and into Alaska.
What the what?
He had dealerships all the way through Oregon and Washington, Alaska.
I think he was in Phoenix, too, by the way.
Was he really?
I think so, yeah.
But it ended up being like a multi-million dollar business. He wasn't just some small timer with a couple of lots. I mean, this dude had it going on.
He had an alligator, I know that.
He sure did.
Named Spot.
And an elephant.
Hey, do you know who your father is?
Yes.
You sure?
Yeah.
Because if you were born in Virginia and you know who your dad is, it's very possible your father is Richard Hatch from Survivor.
What?
What?
Richard Hatch from Survivor.
The winner of the first Survivor ever?
That's right. Who then went to prison for not paying his taxes.
Right.
That's right.
Told Inside Edition that while he was at school at George Mason University in Virginia, he made money being...
A sperm donor.
A sperm donor. He made hundreds of donations while he was in school, paid $30 a pop, no pun intended. I did it for about 2 years, for about two or three times a week for 2 years, he said. That means he could have fathered, by a lowball estimation, no pun intended, as many as 200 children.
Wow.
Hatch recently met two of his children, who tracked him down through a website called the Donor Sibling Registry. But he's guessing there may be another 198 out there.
I thought the whole point of sperm donors, one of the advantages of that, is that you don't have a father or a husband or a boyfriend or somebody in your life to interfere with you and your kid.
That's the woman's point of view.
Right.
But the kid may not feel well.
The kid may be interested in hooking up with the person.
I would like to meet the donor because, first of all, some people are just curious. But secondly, sometimes there's health issues genetic issues at
you do need to know
question. And you'd like to know what
medical history.
Yeah, what predilection they may have for certain illnesses and things like that. So,
wouldn't you be horribly disappointed if you went on a search for your sperm donor daddy and it turned out to be Richard Hatch?
Yeah, I wouldn't be. I wouldn't be thrilled. Could be worse, though. Could be Rudy.
That's true.
You could have a cranky old bastard like Rudy as a dad.
Forgot about Rudy. Yeah. He was on the same season,
him?
Right?
I don't care.
I don't care. You
I'm not going to win.
You go. God damn it. I don't care.
He was the typical old man. Get off my lawn.
He was the worst.
Some of the stuff they talk about don't interest me, and I don't want to hear it.
There's Rudy right there. Hold on. Here's the other one you guys like.
If the spirits cause you to become lost in the jungle, what should you do to find your way home? I don't know.
He didn't die on that island.
It's possible he was too old for that show. It really is.
He can't still be alive.
Yes,
right?
He couldn't even read it.
He was just on the most recent Survivor finale, the live finale. He was in the audience.
Oh, in the audience.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah. Wow. And Probst went up to him and said, "Hey, great to see you, Rudy." He's like, "I don't care.
I don't care.
Get that microphone out of my face."
Fitz can't get out of. Like, he could be my dad.
Maybe Rudy is your dad.
He could be you.
You two have the same speech impediment. And speaking of things sexual, Sharon. Oh, Sharon Osbourne.
Sharon Osbourne?
Oh, Sharon.
What happened?
Oh, Sharon.
What?
Yesterday on her show, The Talk, it was an episode called The Big Secret, where all the girls revealed secrets about themselves that
okay.
no one knew.
All right.
And Sharon revealed that when she was 25 years old and just moved to the U.S. many years ago, 35 years ago, she had a sexual relationship with Jay Leno.
Oh.
No.
Yes.
No, that's
yes.
not true.
Come
yes.
on.
Yes.
Nope. No.
Yes.
She nope. made that up.
No.
What?
Hasn't Jay been married to Mavis for like a billion years?
Well, apparently not for 35 years, because that's when he was banging Sharon Osbourne. Joan Osbourne.
Very different.
Sharon Osbourne.
Well, that's a poor choice.
Yeah, she had already met Ozzy by that point, but they were just friends. And she saw Jay at a nightclub and thought he was sexy and pursued him. And then they had they banged it out for a while.
People forget.
No.
I agree.
It's true.
Why would she admit that, Ralph?
Because their episode was the big secret.
She made it up.
She didn't make it up.
No.
Make that up. You can't just make that up about a public person, because then Jay Leno's going to say,
and people go, what did you just say?
And that's a confirmation or a denial, Jay?
A denial.
Oh, okay.
Today's celebrity birthday is Matthew Folliwell of Kings of Leon is 29 years old today. Bassist Mikey Way, formerly of My Chemical Romance, is 33. Ryan Phillippe, the actor, 39. Guy Ritchie, 45 years old today. Another director, Chris Columbus, celebrates his 55th birthday. Robin Goodrich of Bush fame, he's the drummer for that band, 48 years old. Colin Firth is 53, and Joe Perry of Aerosmith celebrates his 63rd birthday today. I'm Ralph Garman.
A lot of boat sounds here on this one. Just a lot of...
Well, the ship will carry on.
A lot of boat.
Oh, is that
a ship carrying on right there?
I think it is, yeah.
We missed that, too.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. It is 9:41.
Mark Laporte, by the way, from Balboa Island, just won tickets to go see
Balboa,
Depeche Mode.
Like Rocky Balboa.
Nope. Yeah. Balboa Island.
You know, he's living on Balboa Island. My name is Rocky Balboa.
I don't live in an island.
It's not your island.
Okay, that's fine.
I'm not greedy or lazy.
Thank you, Sly. Sylvester Stallone here, but I don't know why. Listen, Depeche Mode tickets. Congratulations. We got more for you all day long. Details at KROQ.com. Time for the Showbiz Beat. Now here's Rob.
Tina Fey fans will rejoice. Announced yesterday that the first episode of Saturday Night Live's 29th season will be hosted by Tina Fey, returning as a host. This is Fey's fourth appearance since she left the show as a regular cast member. The show, which cranks up on September the 28th, will also have Arcade Fire as their musical guest.
How about
that's
that?
That's going to be a good episode.
That reflector song, I like that.
It's good, isn't it?
Good tune.
Did you know that David Bowie sings on that, too?
Yeah, he's the background singer.
What's up with that? David Bowie doesn't need to sing backup on anybody's
David
song.
David Bowie to sing backup, he said.
Right, but why?
We don't have an answer with what's up with that.
Our new bit, what's up with David Bowie? Miley Cyrus.
We should talk
to
him.
We know him. We could call him.
Miley Cyrus will be the host and musical guest for the October 5th show. Bruce Willis will host with Katy Perry on the October 12th show. And Lady Gaga apparently is also scheduled to return sometime this season as a musical guest over there on SNL.
They still get terrific guests, don't they?
Sure do. Justin Bieber is all grown up.
Nope.
Have you saw the photos this week of him at the opening ceremony of Fashion Week in Manhattan, but he's trying to grow a mustache.
Really?
Yeah.
How's that coming out?
It's fuzzy.
It's hilarious.
Sure is fuzzy.
It's nothing like yours.
Well, come on. What is?
What is? That's right.
Other than Selleck, I can't think of anyone who has ever had...
Ron Burgundy, maybe.
As spectacular a stash as the one I was rocking. Nah, I dwarf Burgundy's. I had full-blown handlebars.
You sort of did.
Yeah, sort of did. Gwyneth Paltrow is a horrible person and mother.
In other news.
Go to TMZ.com. You can see the video of Gwyneth picking up her child at school, first of all, on a Vespa. That already is child abuse. That your kid has to stand there with his or her friends and see you pull up on a Vespa.
Mom, pull up three blocks,
just
for God's sakes.
Just meet me at the Starbucks around the corner. Don't pull up on that Vespa again. You look like a bad 1960s Italian movie star. So she pulls up on the Vespa, throws her kid on the back with a helmet full of broken glass, I might add.
I don't think that's true.
Yeah, she strapped a helmet filled with broken glass on the kid's head.
You're adding that.
And gave him a bottle of Lysol and said, drink up,
that's
Johnny.
That's not true.
No, she didn't do that. But she did endanger her child by pulling out in front of a school bus, cutting it off.
All right.
You can see the bus slam on the brakes to avoid hitting Gwyneth Paltrow. More importantly, hitting the child that's strapped to the back of her Vespa. to the back wheel of the Vespa, I might add. Kids spinning over and over again. The poor kids getting run over.
Now, would this be, I'm trying to keep the Paltrow kids in mind. Is this Moses? Is this the little kid Moses that she has picking up from school?
Who knows?
No, this is Radish.
There was Apple.
This is Radish.
There was
Radish.
Oh, this is Radish. Okay. Yeah. And there was a Felipe. I can't remember all the kids.
I can't either. Anyway, she's bad. Remember Pippi Longstocking? The little redhead girl with the pigtails that stuck straight out.
Yeah. Sort of,
she was. She had wacky adventures with her monkey sidekick.
Sure. Well, so do I.
She's all grown up. Tammy Aaron, who starred as Pippi Longstocking in the movie, she has been fighting, she says, desperately to stop a adult video. That her boyfriend shot of her from being released. The ex-boyfriend was shopping around the video to several video companies.
I'd love to get a copy of that.
She said, I'm furious with him. This will never be released. I will never allow this to happen.
I don't want this.
Well, she announced
this is bad.
Recently. Oh, well, it looks like it's going to make it into the public eye one way or the other. So, okay, I'll accept the highest offer amongst all the bids we've gotten from the porn companies. So you'll soon, if you ever had a longing for Pippi Longstocking, you'll be able
First
to see
of all, you're
her.
A pedophile.
But second of all, now you get to see her all grown up, and it'll be legal and everything. But she's still really hot, so...
Wow.
So that's a plus.
Was that a TV show or a movie, Ralph, that Pippi Longstocking?
It was a movie, Bean. It was a series of movies.
Okay, I'm sorry. It's before my time.
No, it wasn't.
I don't know.
When was it?
Before your memory.
Just be happy that he doesn't.
Before your time.
Just be happy that he doesn't have great memories of it, because he'd be making a lot of noise right now that we wouldn't like.
And I knew if I waited long enough, it would pay off. The One Direction documentary, One Direction, This Is Us?
Yes.
Is coming back out into theaters this weekend with 20 more minutes of additional footage.
Oh, thank God.
And four more songs.
Thank God.
I knew. I could smell it. I said, if I go now, I'm just going to see the regular version. But if I wait long enough, I'll get the bonus version with 20 extra minutes and four more songs from my beloved 1D.
Does it include...
Wheel in the Sky Keeps on Turning. I'm going to find that clip. I'm going to find it, and I'm going to burn it. I'm going to burn it to the ground.
We got multiple copies. Don't worry about it.
This is just a chance to rip off 13-year-old girls for another $17.
It's
you didn't see all of it, girls. Wait, we got 20 more minutes over here. Look, four more movies. Four more songs.
If you really want to see that movie, you've seen it by now, right?
This is how you get them back in.
So this is not going for a new audience. This is just going for repeat customers.
Yes, this is getting extra money out of out of little girls everywhere. I hope one of the...
out of parents everywhere.
One of the additional scenes is Lewis throwing up on the soccer pitch. I hope they add that into the film. This is... you could call it. Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. Matthew Folwell of Kings of Leon is 29 years old.
Can't believe we haven't talked to Lewis.
Who threw
yeah,
up
really.
Yes.
Does he have a pet? Do we know if he has a pet?
Perfect. Tailor made for this show. Mikey Way, formerly of My Chemical Romance. He was the bassist for that band. 33 years old today. Ryan Phillippe, the actor, is 39. Guy Ritchie, director, 45 years old today. Another successful film director. Chris Columbus celebrates his 55th birthday. Robin Goodrich, drummer of Bush, is 48. Colin Firth, very talented actor. Oscar winner. For the Kings.
See what you did there?
Speech. Is 53 years old, and guitarist Joe Perry of Aerosmith is a rockin' 63 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Hey, Ralph, you know what I saw when I was walking into Riddick, the movie that I walked out of quickly thereafter? I saw a woman carrying a service dog into the movie theater.
Carrying a service dog. How much service can a dog be if you have to carry it?
Tiny little 6-7 pound dog.
And what service is she providing there in the theater?
I'm sure it's emotional.
It had a vest.
I don't know. I want to hear from you, Lisa, about this because you're part of the problem.
So we're going to talk about fake service dogs.
Service animals. There's more
tomorrow.
Than just dogs, you know.
Oh, are there?
You can open it up. Yeah. You can have a service monkey. You can have a service parrot.
Bean says you can buy the service collar or vest or whatever on Amazon.
I'm sure you can.
It's just crazy.
It's just a racket. It's a racket for the crazy pet parents to never have to leave their children.
Yes, it is.
We want to talk to those crazy pet parents tomorrow because you don't need a doctor or anybody to sign off on it anymore.
No.
You just renegade it.
Searching for Dave Chappelle is the name of a book written by Jason Zinnemann, and we're going to have him on the program tomorrow. And Thomas Sadowski, who is the producer Don on The Newsroom, is on tomorrow morning's show, along with Adam Carolla with This Week in Radio.